Ladies and gentlemen, Vince McMahon.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining today's press conference. The new XFL will kick off in 2020, and quite frankly, we're going to give the game of football back to fans. I'm sure you want to get to some questions, so fire away.
We'll take our first question from Chris Palmieri with Bloomberg News.
Hello, Chris.
Yeah, hi, Vince. Can you say if the controversy about bending knee and the rating slump that the NFL has had it played a role in your thinking about launching this now?
No. I've always wanted to relaunch and had this plan for some time.
We'll take our next question from Tom Krasovic with the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Hi. Will President Trump support this in any way, even if it's just with statements?
As far as our league is concerned, it'll have nothing to do with politics. Absolutely nothing, and nothing to do with social issues either. We're there to play football.
And we'll take our next question from John Lafayette with BNC.
Hello, John.
Yeah, hi, Vince. Would you say that if the players refuse to stand on the sideline, you'll go down there and step up to them and say, "You're fired"?
My apologies. It's Richard Deitch with Sports Illustrated.
Okay, let's go to Richard.
How are you going to keep players? You talked a little bit about keeping politics out of this game. Are you going to suspend players if they have political opinions? Is there going to be no free speech?
The national anthem is a time-honored tradition that's played to this day and many, many years in the past prior to most athletic events in our country and in other countries. So whatever our rules are is what everyone will abide by.
We'll take our next question from Roger Simmons with the Orlando Sentinel.
Hello, Roger.
Yeah, hi, Vince. If you could name your players' activities during the anthem on the sidelines after a Stephen King novel, what Stephen King novel would you pick? Is it The Stand?
We'll take our next question from Emma Ackerman with Bloomberg News.
If you stand, stand by me, falling down the stand.
Thank you all for joining us today, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more questions, and we're going to be asking a lot more questions and listening to all of you. Thank you very much for joining us.
You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program on Strangelabel.com.
To the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, via Skype by my co-host, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Viva la revolution!
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We're probably going to be joined by Drunkard STL on the Twitters here in a few minutes.
I can't wait.
So much to discuss, Travis. It's been a busy week. The XFL is back, Travis.
Hey, I didn't watch it when it was on the first time, but, I'll give it a shot this time. I hope they're going to do it in the off season of the NFL, and then I can have football all year long.
Well, Travis, see, those are questions that that people could ask, but anybody anymore wants to know about is the kneeling. Vince, are they going to kneel? Vince, right. These guys, there's anthems to be played, and fellas, they need to stand up during it.
And the thing about it, I understand if somebody really wants to just be, it's a sign of our times and it's an issue on the forefront of people's minds. So get the one question out of the way. He answered the question, then stop asking some variation of the exact same question over and over and over again.
They asked if Colin Kaepernick can play in the XFL. Hey, Vince, will you let him play?
He just announced that he was relaunching this thing, which is going to take some time to really get going and get organized. And people are already asking about specific controversial players when he has announced pretty much nothing, right? It's like
it doesn't debut till 2020.
Right. And didn't he announce just like what the teams were? It was like 8 teams and that's it. Like that's the only information that we have.
We have 8 teams. He doesn't know the cities and the players they're going to stand. That's what we know.
Time-honored tradition, going back before sporting events. That's whatever the rule is, they'll abide by that.
You know, the NFL has a bit of a thing going on where you know the players are taking part in social things and whatever. But they you know they also had that Will Smith movie about the concussions.
Oh, sure, where he did that, it was like a South African accent or some such thing.
Oh, God, Travis, that concussion movie. If only that were real life, that would have been a real nail in the coffin if all those guys were getting concussions and the NFL was covering it up.
Yeah, if it was actually a thing where people are just refusing to go through concussion protocols, and instead of shutting anything down, they just fine them like $100,000 for a team that's worth $3-4 billion.
But when you start talking about the Vince McMahon and the football, you start thinking about the Vince McMahon's other business, and that's all it's predetermined, Travis. It's a work.
So it's a choreographed sporting event.
They're gymnasts. You know, they're doing choreographed things.
And right.
Travis, I think that, the WWF it had its time where people thought it was silly and, they were being silly for wrestling. But, if you were actually going out there and punching guys in the face, big, muscly guys punching each other in the face, it'd really hurt.
Oh, yeah, of course it would. You'd be injured, pretty quickly.
You make a predetermined, choreographed football league, Travis. Sports entertainment. Would you not watch it?
I absolutely would watch it, and here's why. Because I watch football for the big plays. So if they choreographed, say, even that playoff game with the Minnesota Vikings where they came back and won in like with 0 seconds left, if you choreographed that, if you staged that, and I didn't know it was coming, I would still.
It's thrilling.
It's thrilling. I watched that one play from Stephon Diggs, that touchdown catch. I probably watched that literally 25 times because it every single time gave me goosebumps how amazing the win was. So if you just like set that up, if that was always predetermined that was the way that the game was going to end,
the Vikings guy that no caught problem the, with that caught the ball and the Saints guy like tried to tackle a ghost like 3 feet away from him.
He tried to go low. He was trying to get to him early. And
see, now, if you
early,
gave me that evidence that the NFL was fixed, I'd believe you. Because that guy looked like right. He had no idea what he's doing. He missed the guy by a mile. What was he doing?
And the other thing, too, is the fact that, typically with that little time left, a wide receiver is trained to get out of bounds. Like, you get out of bounds because we're going to kick a field goal. But he had the foresight to, like, grab one quick look to see nobody was around him. And instead of get out of bounds, he just ran his ass off.
Maybe that's what the guy thought, is that he was going to try to get out of bounds. And if he timed it right, he could hit the guy trying to go that way, because that would be the way that you would go.
Exactly. Like, he thought he was going this way. So that's, that's he was trying to. And a lot of football is like that, is figuring out what happens before it actually happens. And that's how people win games. But that guy, he didn't count on that.
It reminds
move, so.
Me of that movie Desperado. You remember Desperado with Antonio Banderas, where he goes into the bar and they have like the big choreographed gun battle. And, Antonio Banderas isn't going to get shot. He does little dances. He does, little, and they play cool music. You make that into a football show. I'm telling you, it would be a hit. The XFL doesn't need to be real football. The XFL needs to be extra fake football.
Right. I completely agree, and that is what the X and the F should stand for, because people are into things. Even if they know it's not happening in the moment, they know it's a scripted kind of thing. Yeah, people are into it. And I've never seen, and maybe this is just because of the mark of social media, but this last year and a half, like, people I follow on Twitter, like the wrestling fandom is so huge. and people are so hardcore about it. I've just never seen anything like it. And they know, you know, it's just a choreographed thing, and that they know that everybody's kind of, you know, set to play their part. But goddamn, people are like passionate about that thing, and I could see that for the XFL.
Travis, there's a goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres, Buffalo, New York. It's up there. They don't talk about the Buffalo Sabres much. They're not very good.
Is that an actual NHL team, or is that like
the Buffalo Sabres? They are in the NHL. They do not have a great record. The Buffalo Sabres are 14-26-9. They're pretty bad. But they have a goalie. His name's Robin Lehner, and there's been a lot of talk about the Robin Lehner in the biz, because he is convinced that the games are fixed, and
the games that he plays.
Yes, yes. He was in a game, and he was playing the New York Islanders, who are 25-20-5. They're in a playoff spot. They're decent. The Sabres were winning by one goal, and with like a minute left, an Islanders player took a shot, and Robin Lehner made an amazing save. He dove across the crease and caught it in his catch and glove, and they said, "Oh my God, what a goddamn save!" So some time goes by, they're playing the game, and the whistle blows. They blow the play dead, and they say, "Wait a second, guys. The head office called us, and they said that they think that amazing Robin Lehner save was actually a goal." And they got into a whole bunch of video replay, and they called it a goal. Like, his entire glove had crossed the line, and so they called it a goal. All of a sudden, it's a tie game. They lose in overtime. And
is that legitimate? You saw the replays, and it was obvious that the
Travis,
glove
I wouldn't say it was obvious. I would have goddamn given it to him.
So it's not like the NFL where it has to be conclusive evidence in order for them to overturn it. They just do whatever the fuck
but
they
see,
want.
But see, Travis, as a former goalie myself, I romanticize the position. So I see a save like that, and I say, God damn it, just give it to him. Old Robin Lehner, he pulled off a big beaut there. So anyway, after the game, he said, this is a quote from Robin Lehner, "Everything is predetermined against us. It's not to be sulking or anything. We're not where we want to be or anything like that. It's just how it is. The Islanders are in a playoff spot, and you know it is what it is. Toronto has it predetermined, you know. We played in Montreal, and Price is having a shutout. We score a good goal, and the league took it away. It's just how the league works." And then he went on to say that, like, it's a conspiracy against Buffalo, New York, and that the Bills are in the same boat, and the NFL doesn't want the Buffalo Bills to win either. The games may not be predetermined, but I think that maybe there are league officials who want their big market teams to succeed more than maybe the Buffalo Sabres.
I could back you on that a little bit, because I've seen plenty of games, you know, where it's the New England Patriots specifically were called, or even like the Green Bay Packers, because they are so popular, like calls really going their way. I mean, but it happens to all teams across any league where you watch a game and you're like, that was a shitty call, but it kind of balances out where, you know, I watch my Chicago Bears get their ass kicked, 'cause they always do. But they have some really bad calls against them. And then, you know, in the second half, the team they're playing gets some awful calls for them, and I'm cheering. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That was pass interference, even though the guy was 5 yards away from him. I think it balances out more often than not.
I would argue that if the NFL was predetermined, they probably wouldn't have the Patriots win as often as they do.
Well, no, and in a market like Chicago, they would be a contender every year because it's Chicago. Like, you know, I mean, harken back to the good old Chicago Bulls days with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Like, that generated so much revenue for the NBA when those guys were winning, because it's such a big market. And Chicago Bears are the same way. If you know, they go on a winning streak, and that league is going to generate big, big money. So if it's predetermined, you would certainly think that they would want to move it in that direction.
But we have some really colorful football characters that come out and cut promos. And they say that they're going to do really bad things to the other team. and you have, you know, big, huge tackles, biggest tackles you've ever goddamn seen, because, you know, it's Hollywood FX, and you just make a predetermined football program.
Well, it's like, if you want to do it right, you take guys the size of The Rock, and then you do like NFL blitz, where you pretend people are getting their legs broken every other play and shit, where it's like nothing but passing. And if you do run the ball, the running back is so huge, like he bowls over like eight guys at once.
And then a scrappy little fella comes off the bench and becomes a hero.
Right, exactly.
And you cheer. You cheer for him, Drunk. You fucking cheer, Drunk.
Yes, sir.
You cheer for the scrappy young fella that comes off the bench. We made that guy a star.
You know why I'm excited for the XFL?
Why is that,
Drunk? Because St. Louis might actually get a team in that, right?
Yeah. Are we going to be season ticket holders for the XFL?
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
Are we going to go see XFL games?
Yeah, what do you think they'd be called here?
I don't know. Probably something stupid.
Arches.
The Maniacs.
The St. Louis Maniacs.
Well, that used to be Memphis back in the day, so.
How was your week? You went to the Las Vegas, Nevada.
I did go, and I came back alive.
Yeah? So. Was there any noteworthy events that happened to you?
I saw Carlos Santana, so, like, the actual guy.
Like, in person? Like, just at the bar, or did you go see a concert?
I saw his concert, and it was pretty good.
Was Matchbox 20 there? Because that's my favorite Santana song.
No, they had some two Jamokes singing that song for him.
Oh, that sucks. You gotta have Matchbox 20 doing that song.
So the Carlos Santana, he plays all his hits?
Plays all the hits.
But all of his hits are sang by other people.
Right, and he had two Jamokes singing songs for him.
And they were not... Is Jamoke a racial slur?
I don't think so.
What is a Jamoke? Is that just a fool?
Yeah, a fool guy.
Just like, hey, you Jamokes, get back to work.
Some rando, yeah.
Just a random guy?
Yep. Two of them, a black guy and a white guy.
Oh, so one of them was a real Jamoke.
Actually, he wasn't really a white guy. I guess he's more of a Mexican, so. Oh. Yeah, I was up for a little bit, and then you know how Vegas it is.
They take it.
They take it back, so.
You got a card, though, right? So, like, logged all your purchases and shit?
No, I was only down there for a couple days, so.
Well, I was only there a couple of days the last time, and I got a loyalty card or whatever. They have not stopped sending me free hotel, like, weekends and, like comped meals and shit for, like, I haven't been there in, like, over 3 years, maybe 4 years now, and they just will not stop sending me free shit.
So at the Santana show, did they let you use your telephone?
Yeah.
See, I see this thing going around now.
They wouldn't let you use it at Cirque du Soleil, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you see? Oh, like, were you gambling there? Or did you go see a show? Oh, Cirque du Soleil is a performance thing.
Yeah, it's like a circus.
What version did you see?
I saw O at the Bellagio.
So what do they do? Do they take it away from you?
That's the sex one, right?
No, it wasn't really that sexual.
They're all kind of sexual, Travis, if you try hard.
Right. I think the one you're thinking of is called Love. But O is like they do these like trapeze acts and all this crap over water. So it's almost like a dive show.
There's a thing going around now at the concerts. I saw this just the other day. Jack White is coming to St. Louis, and he's playing a sports venue, the Chaffetz Arena. And I read this thing that said, upon arrival at the venue, all phones and other photo or video capturing gizmos will be secured in a yonder pouch that will be unlocked at the end of the show. You keep your pouch... secured phone on you during the show, and if needed, can unlock your phone at any time in a designated yonder phone zone located in the lobby or concourse. And my first reaction was that's a cool thing, because every time I go to a show now, everybody's videotaping the whole thing or taking selfies, and they're out of it. You know, you can't just watch a show anymore. But then as I think about it, I was like, yeah, but I would want to use my phone. I'd want to, you know, check my emails and stuff, you know, like in between bands or something.
Or at least text people and say, God damn, can you imagine how this fucking Jack White song was unbelievable?
Right, right.
Yeah. He just covered blah, blah, blah.
Can't do it, though. You put it in a yonder pouch. And days after I saw that, and I was kind of debating in my head what to think about the yonder pouch, I saw an article from a guy who was mad because he was unable to check on his sick dad while he was at a concert because they made him put his phone in a yonder pouch.
Why'd he go to the concert if he's worrying about his sick dad?
Must not have been that worried about
right.
it, right?
Absolutely.
Jesus.
And I guess he didn't go to the yonder phone zone either, Travis. They said, you can check your phone. You just got to go to the phone zone. But yeah. And so I guess it'll probably be short lived because we're all, you know, kind of cunty. And
yeah, I can't see it lasting too long.
But I think that it's a good thought. I think that their head is in the right place.
No, I think he's just being a douche.
Who?
They got to do a thing. They got to do a thing where, you know, in movies, how, you know, they got somebody under witness protection or some shit. And all of a sudden their phones go out and they're like, oh, no, they must have put out a cell blocker. We can't access mobile. They got to just do something like that for concert venues where they just shut everything down.
What about
like,
water shoot. Balloons? You see somebody
that would shut phones down, no
using
problem.
Their phone, you throw a water balloon at them.
I like
just
that
have
idea.
All the ushers standing there with a big bucket full of them. And you fuck around, you do some shit. You get a water balloon thrown at you.
Right. I think you get a lot of dudes trying to get, you know, the hot broads in the first couple rows, like, busted. They'd use their phones in front of them and then move really quickly as they saw the water balloons flying towards them so they can get the, you know, not only a good show but also a wet T-shirt contest.
Matt Leroy sent us the definition of jamoke on Urban Dictionary. It is a clumsy loser who is incapable of doing normal human tasks. So I wouldn't necessarily describe the guys singing for Carlos Santana as being jamokes, right?
Did you see them?
Were they bad?
No, they were fine.
They were fine.
I might be a jamoke, as a matter of fact.
Carlos Santana ain't hiring some jamokes.
They're just two random guys.
They're just fine. I mean, they're no Rob Thomas.
Right. No, absolutely.
Drunk, did you drop like acid or anything when you went to that Cirque du Soleil show or take some mushrooms or something?
I mean, I smoked some legal weed, but that was about it.
Is weed legal in Las Vegas?
In the entire state of Nevada.
Yeah, smoke it up.
That's pretty neat.
It's not bad.
It's pretty cool.
They got a place like right off the strip you can go to. Boom.
And you can still smoke cigarettes indoors if you're a cigarette smoker.
Oh, dude, their airport had a fucking smoking section. I was so fucking jacked about that.
I couldn't believe going there. You know, I was still smoking at the time, but like just being able to smoke, like, I mean, a lot of casinos you can smoke in because they don't give a shit. They just want you to spend money. But like the casinos and the bars and the fucking your hotel room, like, smoke away. It's unbelievable. I think the next time I go there, even though I haven't like actually smoked cigarettes in quite a while, I'll absolutely buy a pack of Camel Lights and smoke cigarettes all weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you get like one of the vape things for the marijuanas, you can smoke those in the casino too, and nobody says shit. So
I've still not seen, you know, I see people doing that all over the place, is using like vape to smoke weed, and it seems great.
Is it like liquid weed?
Yep. Or wax weed, either way.
Wax weed?
Can you
weed?
Not use actual, like, just weed and shove it into one of these contraptions?
They do make attachments for that, yes.
That sounds cool.
Huh. So why did you pick Santana, of all the things? Or did you have, like, some big need to see him? Did you think this is the guy that I gotta see?
My lady's parents paid for it, so.
Oh, well. They wanted to see Santana,
yep.
And you were along for the ride.
You went with your lady's parents and you smoked weed all weekend?
It's legal, Travis.
Did you smoke weed with your lady's parents?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's fun.
Apparently he was all kinds of fucking coked out before we got there, so.
Oh, perfect.
Right. See, so he had to smoke the weed to even himself out.
You know, Mike, I feel bad. Like, I'm listening to these stories, and I'm like, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have drunk as a son-in-law when I get older. It's like, God damn, what am I doing? I got to really change my shit up here in the next, like, 10-plus years.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're a good man. You're a good fella. You're
Travis,
a responsible
I
guy.
I feel like you end up with a drunk when you want to piss off your dad.
Oh, my dog. Well, then definitely.
I mean,
then definitely.
Drunk's a nice guy. Drunk's a nice guy.
I just smoke a little weed. Man. What the fuck? Who cares?
But, I mean, he's unkempt, Travis. I mean, he's certainly not Ivy League, the drunkard.
Listen, obviously, I'm not looking for somebody too stuffy for my daughter. You know, when she gets, you know, to the age, you know, when she's like 30 and getting to the age where she's going to start dating and things. But you know, somebody can make a little cash. You know, have a nice house.
You're not going to let your daughter date until she's 30.
You let your daughter find herself a guy who's got a lot of couches.
Well, right, and maybe the guy is the one making the money and can take me on vacation.
Right. Drunk, no offense.
No. There's no offense taken.
You're a nice fella, drunk. I don't think any of us are like, you know, a parent's dream.
Some supreme catch.
Oh, right, exactly. I think it took years before I was accepted.
I mean, we're fine. We're not the worst off you could do, but
you gotta understand, as a parent, you want better than fine for your kids.
Right.
You want the best, drunk.
I at least have, you know, job and house and
a podcast.
And a podcast.
Such a rarity nowadays.
Guys, we do have a guest coming up after the break. Bernard Robichaud is going to be on the program. So we are going to go to break now while you all Google Bernard Robichaud. And we will be back in just a few minutes. Drunk, do you want the people to know anything special? Do you want to compliment them in some way? Do you want to tell them that you think they're neat?
Can I compliment you?
Sure, Drew.
Congratulations on being the first overall pick of the Lotus Cast Fantasy Strange Label Draft.
It was not safe for water coolers.
I'm sorry, the not safe for water coolers.
Yeah. Me, you, and Travis were all drafted.
I can't believe I was drafted. That's
unbelievable. You were drafted in the
last round, second to last pick.
The fourth round.
It's okay.
So we have a new sponsor this week called CamSoda.com. They call themselves today's digital strip club. But when you go to camsoda.com, CamSoda.com, what you're going to see is thousands of gals just dildoing the bejesus out of themselves. There's professionals and amateurs. I saw a big wall of gals to choose from. It was wild. Use our special link, camsoda.com/podcast, for a free trial. They give you some funny money to toss around like you're a big shot. Totally free to try. Gals wailing away 24/7. Give them a check in out. Check them out. Yeah, check them out, guys. CamSoda.com/podcast.
You know what's going to happen now?
I have an assumption.
WFOP!
See this? All right.
Old man gave me that when I was in grade 7. Seen a lot of action. 9mm. Safety always off. Told me he was proud of me once. Fucking prick.
We have breaking news out of New York City, where it appears a feat even Jimmy Fallon himself couldn't facilitate. The Friends cast has reunited in Times Square. They appear... Is this correct? Can we get confirmation on this? They appear to be wired with explosives.
How you doing?
Miss Kudrow, Chaz Charlton from Action 7 News, why are you doing this?
How you doing?
They tampered with the re-release Crystal Pepsi supply. It's making everyone go crazy for early 90s nostalgia. Or whatever convoluted plotline is necessary to sell this bullshit.
Never surrender, we'll never quit, cause we're too legit to quit!
Nothing for you!
Reports coming out of Hartford, Connecticut indicate that the ALF epidemic has eradicated the city's cat population.
Now this is a story all about how this town's about to get flipped upside down!
Oh, Icarus!
Bubble tape! It's 6 feet of bubble gum for you, not them!
What is that? Godzilla wasn't big in the 90s, what?
Oh, no.
No, they didn't. They couldn't. No! See? It's a giant...
Night, Michelle.
Everybody run! It's a giant Bob Saget!
Temperatures will remain in the single digits, which hardly provides justification to get out of bed or continue to exist on this mortal plane. Expect clouds and flurries and an utter sense of doom this week, leading into this weekend. That's the weather, now back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor, writer, and comic whose new film Sea Change recently debuted on the Lifetime Network. Bernard Robichaux is on the program. Bernard, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. So the Sea Change, I read a description. I can't find the Sea Change, but I did read about it. Are you a merman in the film?
No, you don't see that part in this thing because it was initially shot as a pilot for Lifetime Movies. So, although I'm an elder, so I'm sure that at some point, if it goes to series, you might see more of a transformation with the character.
Are you kind of bummed out that you didn't get to like be a fish man? That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, it would have been pretty cool. No, I'm not bummed out about it. It was a pleasure working with the cast and crew and the producers I've worked with before on Haven, recurring roles I had on that series. So it was a pleasure working with people that you're familiar with. It was a great team.
So you're best known as Cyrus from Trailer Park Boys. But I guess what people would recognize you from.
Yep, no question. Did Trailer Park Boys since from the very beginning. So, I don't know. It's been running a long time now, 17, 18 years, I guess. I started in 2000. I ended in season 9. So that was probably 15 years that I was on the series.
And that show's still
a couple movies,
around. I read somewhere that the stars of the show bought the rights to it so that they could continue making it.
They did a number of years ago. Yeah, they did after the third movie. They purchased the franchise. Yeah, so I believe they shot season 12 this year. So I'm assuming that will come out on Netflix sometime down the road. Not sure exactly of the dates or anything like that. I'm not privy to that information. So,
it's kind of a culty show. Do you get recognized out on the street and people call you by your character's name and you have to tell them that you're a real man and not?
Yeah, quite often that happens on a fairly regular basis. Yeah, but. It doesn't really. Yeah, I think it happens just about wherever I go. It seems panda in Florida stopped in the from a cook in the back. I was getting a meal there.
The guy making your Panda Express recognized you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Panda Express. Yeah, and him and his mom were. His mom was big, a big fan, and he came out. He came out running after me and asking me if it would be okay to sign something for his mother. So I did. Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't figure that you get pegged at Panda Express, but apparently, you know, I guess that's what happens with the show that's been been around as long as it has.
Right. Yeah, even if you don't necessarily watch it, you might have like flipped a channel and seen it at some point, and then you know you have that familiarity.
After 18 years, and you know with the Netflix and the internet, I mean it's a global television series now. So, it's.
Trailer Park Boys is one of those shows that has been recommended to me a bunch of times, and I get mad at people for recommending it to me now. And I probably should just watch the thing instead of... Well, it's like Breaking Bad. So many people have told you should watch Breaking Bad that eventually you're like, stop recommending Breaking Bad to me. But Breaking Bad's probably a great show. That's why so many people recommend it to you.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the same thing with the Walking Dead and the same kind of...
Right.
You know, I think lots of people recommend that one as well. So I think they all have cult followings. To some extent, none of them have been around as long as Trailer Park Boys. I don't know what's run. I don't know what show has been on that long.
You and the Simpsons, Bernard. You and the Simpsons.
I don't know that MASH had that many seasons, or Seinfeld, to be honest with you.
You began your career as a male model. Is that true?
I did start my career as a male model. I was about 18, 19 years old. Yeah.
What were you doing? Were you doing like Sears catalogs or?
Just a little bit of everything, you know, runway, photos, magazine stuff, you know, that sort of editorial stuff. So, yeah.
And a casting guy came up to you and said, you know, hey, man, you should give this acting thing a try?
Sort of. Didn't really work out that way. I was sent to Toronto to meet up with some agents there by a choreographer by the name of Andy Bode, who was doing most of the Top Fashion shows at that time. And I met with one of the top agents in Toronto, and after about an hour interview, she said that she couldn't use me because she had hired somebody that looked an awful lot like me.
A Bernard Robichaud type?
Yeah, the guy looked like my brother, actually. And so I understood where she was coming from, but she felt that I was missing my calling, that I should be an actor. And I said, yeah, sure, like me and 35 million other people in the state of California. And she just kind of laughed, and she said, well, I think you ought to consider it at some point anyway. And I tossed it around. At one point, just getting into trouble on weekends with buddies of mine and at parties, and a buddy of mine suggested that I needed to find an outlet other than what I was doing, or I was going to end up in trouble for sure. And you know, maybe you should look at acting, like this agent said. He was a very close friend of mine, and so I took his advice, and I went and auditioned at university at Dalhousie University in Halifax and Nova Scotia, and was accepted to theater school, and that's how it started, really. Quit after my first year, on the advice of my voice teacher, who was a Stratford festival voice coach, and took private lessons in voice from her, and she got me a job at the local Equity Theater House and theater, and I learned from some of the top talents in Canada that were going through there as a reader for them, and doing other things as well, you know, staging, lighting.
When you do voice training like that, everything. Do you do that to kind of learn like how to enunciate better, because it translates better, or what Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not for singing. It's for, I guess, projecting and stuff.
No, exactly. That's exactly what it was all about.
Yeah.
Certainly did an awful lot of poetry or reciting Shakespeare or, you know, things like that that she would give me. So, yeah, it took 4 years with her off and on. Dorothy Ward was her name. She eventually left.
Were you acting the whole time, or were you still modeling during that time while you were training?
I stopped modeling at that point. I thought that I needed to choose.
Focus on his craft.
Or I focus on one thing. Back at that time, you know, then if you were modeling, they never really took you seriously as an actor. I never really liked the modeling part of it. I mean, the picture, the photography part of it was okay, but doing runway stuff while people are drinking and, you know, chewing on a burger or something, it's kind of like a little weird. So
Do you feel like when you tell people that you were a model, they kind of... Now, this was my reaction. I read Bernard was a model, and I look at pictures of Bernard and try to determine if he's worthy of being a model or not. That was my first instinct. I don't know if that's weird or not, Travis. That's probably weird, right?
No, well, no, because
they look you up and down. They say, is this guy a model?
Right. As a you know, just in general, you want to determine whether or not you think that somebody was probably worthy at some point of being a model. And obviously they were, but, you know, people like to pass judgment.
Yeah. I get that all the time. People passing judgments. So.
It's the nature of the business, I would imagine.
that's exactly right. You know, there's lots of critics out there, man. So
you say, "Yeah, I was a former model," and they start eyeballing you.
Yeah, just kind of bob and weave with all that stuff, buddy. Yeah, that's all you can do.
Your social media as of late has been dedicated to prostate cancer awareness. I guess recently you were diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was back in early October.
Oh, so recent, really recently.
Yeah. Early October, I was diagnosed and I went through surgery November 28th.
And were you just having a routine checkup and they just found it, or were you feeling weird? Or
I got lucky, buddy. I didn't have a symptom at all. Actually, my fiance suggested that I take some DHEA, which you know is a kind of a supplement that increases your testosterone, so sleep better. You know, your workouts are better because I get paid for my physicality and most of the parts that I play in front of a TV camera or film. So it's important to me to stay in shape. And, you know, being over 50, it made sense for me to look at something like that. Rather than take a pill or a patch with testosterone in it, the DHEA enables you to produce more of your own. So it was, I went to see a naturopath and, I filled out the questionnaire and all that kind of stuff. She gave me a prescription for DHEA. I was on it for a couple of weeks. One of the protocols is to have your blood tested, PSA. And, it came back 7.5. So they called me up one day and said, "We canceled your subscription and go see a urologist."
Oh, geez.
I was fortunate enough to know a urologist I play golf with, and so I called him up and said, you know, this is what's going on. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, I had most of the tests done. Everything else was clear. I had nothing else there, but it wasn't until the biopsies came back in early October that I found out that it was positive and it was an aggressive cancer, and the prostate needed to be removed. So I guess if I had not had her in my life, then I probably would have been one of the 29 that die each year, because about 1 in 7 men are going to get the disease.
One in seven is not very good odds.
It's not good odds at all. I don't feel good about that.
It's not good odds at all. No, And so it's really important for all men to, you know, after 40 to kind of get tested regardless. I know they say 50, but it's really 40 to have, you know, to start getting it checked at 40, you know, it's 90% cure rate. So if you get it early detection, you know, you'd be fine. And the problem is if guys like me that don't have any kind of symptoms at all, they just kind of go along, and then one day you find out, and then it's too late.
Right, and then it's everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I was very lucky, and I really thought that in my position it made sense to with the voice and the social media to make an effort to let guys know that don't wait around.
Leave it to our gender, bunch of stubborn assholes that, I haven't been to a doctor in 10 years. I felt like shit plenty of times, and I know many men are like this. I don't, like my grandpa, I don't believe saw a doctor until he was 73 years old.
Was a generation though.
Right. Well, right. And I kind of think
I totally agree with you. I think that's part of the case with a lot of men. If I'm not dying, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
good.
I'm not laying in bed, bleeding to death here, so I should be good.
When something's wrong, guys.
When something's really wrong, I'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do my own self-diagnosis. I'll just look on the internet.
Oh, never look on the internet. Then you're for surely have something.
Exactly. So, my dad was the same way too. I mean, my grandfathers were the same way as yours. It was that was the generation. But I think if you, it kind of passes on, from generation to generation. I think there's a lot of men out there that are kind of prone to kind of like sitting back and thinking like, it's no big deal.
So they just take your prostate out, Bernard? You just don't have one anymore?
I don't have one anymore.
You don't need that?
I thought it's about the size of a walnut. I thought at first that maybe there was a way where I could actually bring a walnut when I was in surgery and see whether or not they could have just replaced the walnut with the prostate.
With an actual walnut. isn't that funny though? When you think about going back to my point about men is like, you said it's got a 90% cure rate yet. Like what? 1 in 29.
He said 1 in 7.
Well, yeah, 1 in 7 is diagnosed. Yeah. 1 in 29 actually. And 1 in 29 die of the disease with a 90% cure rate. That just goes to speak about how stubborn and dumb we are as a gender.
No question about that. Yeah. So my plan is to freely talk about that. Whenever the opportunity comes along, in order to pass the word along. I think it's only right that. Somebody does. I mean, I can't say that I'm the only guy talking about it, but whatever I can do to help, I'm certainly going to be there. That's for sure.
Appreciate that. Good for you.
At
I like
Bernie Robichaud on Twitter, you follow him. You get a little reminder here and there, and maybe you won't be stupid and you go get your shit checked out every now and then because.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not. It's I know there's. There's a bit of a phobia, I think, it's to some degree, guys thinking they got to go to the doctor and bend over and all that kind of stuff and cough and, that whole thing, and I think there's a bit of a phobia about the doctor and where he's got his fingers. But to be honest with you, the only real test for this is actually a blood test.
Right.
You can't feel the entire prostate with, by him doing that anyway. So the only real way to do it is to get your doctor just to send you in for a, write out a script so you can go into the clinic or something and get your PSA's test, because there's no other way to really confirm that whether or not you've got an issue. So, all kind of well and good that, you know, if you've got this kind of phobia that, oh my God, you know, what if I get excited about that? Whatever the case might be, you know, I think that really, you know, I think you should just forget about that. Your doctor is your friend, number
one.
And
even if you don't forget about that too, you never know, you might find your new kink, you know.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Go in and check it out.
Yeah, it's not quite as being lucky like having a horseshoe up your ass, but I mean, you know, there is, to get the PSAs done and get the blood tested, that's key for sure.
At Bernie Robichaux on Twitter, follow him, tell him you heard him here. Bernie, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Hey, man, my pleasure. Thank you again. I really appreciate the opportunity. It was very kind of you to think
of me.
Hey,
Bernie, by the way, too, you really quickly mentioned that you're over 50, and you look great. So my judgment.
He was a model, Travis!
I can see why you're a male model. So the judgment over here is thumbs up.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. It was very kind of you to say.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
No, my pleasure anytime.
And Travis, I like Bernie.
Bernie. I like Bernie, too.
Yeah, I feel like we're buddies now. I can call him Bernie.
Yeah,
his PR lady said, Bernard, me and Bernie are buddies now.
We'll go way back.
Go way back.
Well, let's go. You know what we should do? We should schedule a weekend at his place, huh?
Travis, you were talking about the male gender and how we're garbage. But
we're idiots.
I have a story about the ladies, Travis.
Yeah.
I read an article. It was a think piece that I saw on social media today. There was some pictures released of Evangeline Lilly from the Ant-Man and Wasp movie.
Oh, did they not give her boob armor?
Yeah. They were saying that we really need to talk about all these lady superheroes' costumes because they are at a tactical disadvantage to be wearing form-fitting clothing. And that they should be wearing like a big chest plate, because you know if they got their yazoos sticking out, when you try to stab them with a spear, the yazoos will deflect the spear directly into like the center of their chest and kill them.
Oh my!
And so they need to.
You mean in these fantasy motion pictures that come out? These blockbuster fantasy movies?
They shouldn't be wearing such form-fitting clothing, Travis. They need to have a tactical advantage.
Did you then see in the same 5 minutes the couple of leaked photos of Brie Larson on the set of Captain Marvel because her boob armor is gone?
She's wearing like a leather jacket. It looked like a
big one-piece leather green suit. Seems like
right. But, I mean, she'll probably have, like, her shower scene or something, right? To show that she's a lady?
I doubt it. I think Captain Marvel, her origin, she's like a soldier. So I would imagine if they do anything, it'll be to make her... Well, you know, if I say more masculine, it's going to make me sound like an asshole, and then I'm going to get flamed on social media, so I won't say anything.
But what's so funny about this article is I read this, and it was probably the article that got the most comments out of any comments. And every comment is telling them that they're stupid. And, you know, why are you writing this? This is stupid. Fuck you.
Why not write it? Somebody spent time writing something that somebody actually clicked on and enjoyed reading.
But they didn't enjoy reading. They hate Reddit.
Well, some people probably did. And the assholes.
Everyone hate Reddit. There was 100 and something comments like within the first 5 minutes, and every one of them was telling them that it was stupid. And I think that they write things that they don't believe in.
Oh, plenty of those websites that are just looking for clicks are constantly just trying to stir the pot. Just like it's like trolling on social media, but it's writing actual articles saying, hey, you fucking dipshits.
Hey, guys, did you ever think that Wonder Woman should put on a muumuu?
Cover up. Yeah, you're trying to be for feminism.
And then all the people that like Wonder Woman, there are Wonder Woman purists, they're mad. Yep. And then all the guys who like Wonder Woman's yazoos, they're mad.
Yeah, the feminists are angry. The anti-feminists are angry.
And Travis, ain't nobody thinking that Wonder Woman should be wearing a muumuu.
Right.
But this guy who wrote it And then everybody goes and jumps on them. But everybody that goes and jumps on them, they're still reading it.
Yep, and they're getting a bunch of Google AdSense dollars, and they're probably accidentally clicking on the
Google
Amazon
AdSense
link.
Dollars. Travis?
Mm-hmm. Stacking up. So don't click on any articles is really what I'm saying. Just read the headline and move on.
But you have to so that you know who to hate.
I did, you know, and they're all guilty of that. Today I read I follow Variety on Twitter, and there was a, Variety and the Hollywood Reporter are essentially like Perez Hilton sites. I think they used to be like, you know, they used to be like good journalism, and they just tell you about the industry. But now they do things like Wonder Years star says show canceled because of sexual harassment claim, right?
Right.
So you automatically assume this is the star of the show saying that, you know, something pretty hardcore went down. Well, what it really was is Kevin Arnold's mom told reporters back in 1993 when these they followed up with her. She said that there was a hairdresser, a makeup artist that said Fred Savage used to say things like, I just love you. Why don't you have an affair with me? And tried to hold her hand a couple of times, asked her out on a date a couple
Fred
of times.
Fred Savage was a little boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a boy. Like, he was maximum 17. I think that show was canceled when he was like 17 years old. But yeah, so this gal filed like a sexual harassment suit about Fred Savage, saying very sweet things. And even like this, his mom in the show, he told reporters, you know, like he's like the sweetest boy that ever existed. And you think about like a sweet boy that, you know, like a sweet little guy that says shit like, just I love you, you know, and tries to hold your hand and immediately go to sexual harassment. I just know in like this age of this kind of thing, that guy'd be flamed. He wouldn't work again. He would not be directing any Always Sunny in Philadelphia's or doing anything anymore, you know.
I'd be done.
Yeah, it'd be over. It'd
flirting
be
with a hairdresser, you're done.
Yeah, everything's clickbait though now. Everything's clickbait, and add that to the, like you say, the parlance of our times. It's a recipe for disaster. With disaster.
There was a podcast that I forgot the name of the podcast. I saw this a while ago, and Jody B reminded me of it today because he retweeted them, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that irritated me. you know, Jody B, he's out there hobnobbing, and he's out there making buddies.
Oh, he's all over the place. He's got there, getting all the friends,
and then he sees somebody that I remembered a month or two ago annoyed me, and I'm like, oh, that's right.
That motherfucker.
What are you being friends with that guy for? That guy sucks. It was on Christmas Day, this podcast. Basically, they were they made a T-shirt that was an homage to Jay and Silent Bob. And it was a stupid T-shirt. And you would never make the connection that it was an homage to anything. Unless like the description of it was basically Jay and Silent Bob homage, right. And you know,
was the art that bad? Like there was no way to tell.
Well, I mean, the art was fine, but it was like, you know, it was two different dudes like standing outside a gas station. And it was like, you know, it was the two guys that are on the podcast. It was like, oh, it's these two guys standing out the podcast that they're doing an homage to Jay and Silent Bob, who also stand outside of gas stations.
So anytime you see anybody standing outside a convenience store, it's automatically have to be a reference to Jay and Silent Bob.
Right.
Is that what we're saying?
And so the company that produced their T-shirts, like they don't make their own T-shirts. They send their art to a place who makes T-shirts and then charges a premium for it. And then like you get a couple bucks. The place that made their T-shirts probably flagged the keywords, which were Jay and Silent Bob, and sent them a letter that said, hey guys, fuck you. You can't sell Jay and Silent Bob shirts.
Straight up said Kevin Smith of Clerks fame starring Jay and Silent Bob on these shirts.
Right. So they go on this Twitter barrage calling Kevin Smith an asshole. like, obviously they're big fans of Kevin Smith because they did an homage to him, Travis.
Yeah.
They go on this Twitter thing where they're calling Kevin Smith an asshole because he sent a copyright claim in for their podcast T-shirt. You know, because obviously that's the leap to make. Yeah, Kevin Smith flagged their shirt. You know, he's just getting on Googling, are there podcasts doing homages to me?
He's not busy enough doing 150,000 hours of podcasts a week and also, like, getting stoned and writing random scripts about dudes turning into walruses. He's searching the internet for copyright infringements.
So Kevin Smith starts replying on Christmas Day to these jerk-offs. And, like, quote tweeting them and saying, hey, guys, I didn't flag your shirt. Fuck you. You know? And
there we go.
But in the meantime,
which Kevin Smith is not apt to do, he will likely say something like, my dumb thing that I made. I didn't flag the dumb thing that I made that you tried to copy. You know, he's like very self-deprecating. Like he's, you know, he knows he doesn't deserve a career and a bunch of money, but he's got it. So,
but he does deserve a career and a bunch of money. He's made things that you love.
I agree. I completely agree.
I mean, he's self-deprecating, but I'm sure he doesn't go to bed every night thinking, man, I don't deserve this at all. I mean, he works his ass off. He's in everything.
Yeah, I'm sure he's appreciative, but yeah, there's no possible way he thinks he doesn't deserve it, even if he says it on social media, because, you know, even when the guy's film career was kind of flailing, he's like, you know what I do like to do? I like to talk a lot, and now that I smoke
and
weed,
flag copyright infringement.
Yeah, right. And also try to take people down trying to make a profit on images.
Travis, you got to protect your brand, you know?
Right.
And so, like, at the same time, I'm looking at this and I'm laughing at these guys. I'm thinking these guys are being seen by like 4 million people on Twitter basically just for calling Kevin Smith a cunt. Like, yeah, they call Kevin Smith a cunt and he makes people aware. And of those 4 million people, how many of them click a link? You know, how many of them go buy the dumb homage T-shirt, which they were given permission by Kevin Smith to sell again?
So should we call Kevin Smith a cunt?
That's what I think. I think we should just change the name of the show to the Kevin Smith is a Cunt podcast.
Well, watch it, though. iTunes will pull us. we'll have to like put asterisks where the U and the N go.
You throw it out there. You'll be like, hey, man, I'm a big fan of you. And that'll get ignored. You say nice things. You tell Bernard you think he's handsome. And he'll probably ignore it or give it a heart. But all right, you call Bernard a cocksucker. I mean, you tweet Bernard right now and just say, hey, I think you're a big cocksucker. He'll probably argue with you for hours. And don't tweet Bernard and tell him you think he's a cocksucker. Please. He's a nice man. Me and Bernie, we're pals.
Yeah. We're going to have a weekend over there.
But I'm making a bigger point here, guys. The people that are nice to you are the people that you should embrace, and you should give no attention to garbage people. And I say that, but I mean, if you fuck with me, I'm going to spend days on you. I'm going to spend days.
The thing.
And I'm part of the problem, and I can realize that.
I completely agree to a certain extent too, because like even some of the comic creators that I really like, you know, I'll tweet nice things at them. If I read a current issue or a current storyline that I think is like completely amazing, you know, I'll tweet at them and it's hit or miss on whether they, you know, you might get a heart here and there. And there's been times where I've gotten a, hey, thanks a lot, or, you know, something like that. But yeah, I do see those same comic creators. If people call them big pieces of shit, it's one of two things. It's the self-deprecating thing saying, hey, I'm learning a lot by you calling me a piece of shit. And then, like you said, it's like they'll go on a spree for hours talking to these people who said that they read their thing and think it's terrible and said, hey, fuck you, don't read it then. You know, but they'll go on and on and on. And I think we had this conversation a couple of years back when The Red Show told Michael Ian Black that he was a giant SJW piece of shit.
Yeah, he was unfunny. He'd never made anything worth a shit.
Yeah, he didn't make anything worth that shit. And man, did Michael Ian Black just go back and forth, back? And comedians are the worst.
He was tweeting out links to Footer's SoundCloud page, and
he was like promoting the fuck out of their show.
And this was on 4th of July. Michael Ian Black spent his 4th of July listening to a guy's podcast and giving a blow-by-blow recap and critique on the 4th of July just because the guy said he was an unfunny piece of shit.
Yeah, to like hundreds of thousands of followers, right? Like, doesn't he have hundreds of thousands? And he's like talking shit about it, but that immediately gained that show tons of downloads.
Oh yeah, yeah. They told me their download numbers were insane. Like, for the most I mean, it was the most recent episode. They probably didn't retain very many people, but they might have gotten a few. Right. And you know what? They in that moment when they click on that link and they're listening to join in Michael Ian Black's critique of this show. In that moment, they are their listeners to lose. You know, right. they have you there. If they lose you, it's because they didn't think you were very good, but they might be converted. They might. But what I'm saying is we all gravitate to bullshit. And if we just made a football show that was choreographed and there wasn't that many injuries, unless there was a terrible accident, then we would be fine, and maybe there was dramatic moments. Maybe they had a very special episode where they talked about social injustices, but it was all staged to finish on like a perfect crescendo, and so you ran the gamut of emotions and come to a conclusion. And we don't have real life anymore, Travis. Real life is over.
Can you imagine the XFL if it started like the WWE, where they stage a talk in the locker room and a couple of players are just talking about how he's a black guy, he got pulled over this weekend, he got thrown to the curb, and he wants to make a statement, you know, but he doesn't want to like disrespect the country or do anything of the nature to
offend anybody. What do I do, coach?
Underdog in this game, and this one player comes out and scores the game-winning touchdown, and he gives it. He says, "This is for all people objectified. This is for all the people who feel like they're not worthy of a place in society." That show would get so many people watching.
This is for all of you who dare to dream. This is for all of you.
Martin Luther King once said.
What did he say, Travis?
I was dreaming last night.
Shittier.
That all of us could be good friends.
That was the quote. You did it.
Yeah. Verbatim.
See, Kevin Smith, you know, I like some of his movies. He should retweet my podcast.
You know, let's smoke weed with Kevin Smith. I think that's what we should do.
Should that be the title of the podcast? We like Kevin Smith.
We like Kevin Smith. He should retweet our podcast.
I mean, that's how it works, right?
Start the cycle in the right direction. Yeah. Quit responding to the haters, Kevin.
That's right.
Dogma's great.
Clerks, amazing.
Could really change the course of our society if we responded to the positive rather than negative.
Guys, I'm not going to respond to any of your negative tweets anymore. I'm just going to ignore them. All the positive ones?
Just immediately.
You are lying through your teeth right now.
All the positive ones, I'll say thanks.
1000% lying.
You send me negative shit on social media and I'm not going to say anything back to you.
I don't believe you
just
at
gonna
all.
Just going to ignore it. I'm gonna rise above drunk. It's my 2018 goal.
Yeah,
rise above the haters.
The year of bits and rising above haters.
You know, really, we've only had like two people who have ever like fucked with us, and
And that's in a span of like 8 years.
Yeah. And I was overly brutal to both of them.
We're devoted like a big chunk of the show for a long time.
Like I was really, really awful for like a really long time and like made sure that like I just kicked the horse until it was unrecognizable as a horse anymore.
Yeah. So you get what's happening on social media.
So you need, what you're saying is we need to find somebody new to have beef with.
No beefs, positivity.
Less beef. It's the year of bits. It's not the year of beef.
That's right. It's taking the year of bits. Page from the pod sheave.
It's been a whole month and you still haven't put anything positive in my mouth.
Drunk, you know, we are coming up soon on Stunt Month. It's after podcast month. Podcast month starts next week.
Is it next week already?
Yep. So we're going to have some of our buddies on. I'm going to reach out to some. I've already reached out to a few. I'll reach out to some more and maybe some new blood. If you guys are listening to the podcast and there's like another podcast that you also listen to and always thought to yourself, what would these two podcasts sound like if they interacted with one another?
They'd be funny on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Let us know who it is and we'll try to get them. But we're not going to start beef with anybody because it's not us anymore. We're all about
beefs, baby.
Positivity. If you send me negative shit on social media, I'm telling you, not even going to respond. Not going to say a word to you. Just going to keep on trucking. Know what I'm saying? Keep on trucking. Travis? Do you have do you have any things? Or do you just want to do your pick of the week? What do you want
to
do?
I don't really have any things. I had a couple of things. I think we got to it. I do have I have two picks of the week. One of them is quick because it's a song. The new Justin Timberlake song featuring Chris Stapleton, right? It's amazing. It's my new favorite song. I've watched the video for this thing. It's the third of his four releases prior to the album release. But really, he strategically planned this from the looks of it to have four videos drop from his new album right before his performance at the Super Bowl.
Travis, I'll tell you, I like the Chris Stapleton.
Oh, me too. In this song with Jay, oh my God, the Say Something song, I cannot get enough of this thing. Like the first two JT songs off of his new album, is it The Man in the Woods? It's they're fine. Filthy grew on me. That was the first title track.
Grew on me. I didn't like it the first couple times I heard it.
Yeah, we had that discussion where I was the same way, where it was like, it's something buried on the back end of the 2020 experience.
Drunk, but, have we talked about Travis's unhealthy obsession with Justin Timberlake?
I like JT too, so I mean,
yeah, but I mean, you like side. Justin Timberlake, but Travis likes Justin
Timberlake. I love Justin Timberlake. Yeah. I'm a huge fan, but I do have to say this newest one is amazing, and I cannot. The video is great. The song is just unbelievable. So I'm a big fan of that. If you haven't been one of the like 32 million people who already watched that video,
what do you call a Timberlake fan? What do you?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. Does he have like a?
Does he have like, you know, like the, there's like the Beliebers.
Yeah, the Beliebers.
And what's his name? Lady Gaga. She has the Monsters. Timberlake fan?
A Laker.
Man, I don't know. I don't know.
What a Laker. That's pretty good. It's in the chat. Rabbit Pounding says it's a Laker.
That's pretty good. Laker. I'd take that. I'll take that. Maybe a Laker. Yeah. So anyway, big fan of that. But my true pick of the week is comedian and friend of the show Todd Glass is his new comedy special on Netflix entitled Act Happy.
Travis, did you watch it?
I did watch it and I liked it very much. It's weird.
I didn't like it.
You didn't care for it, huh?
Didn't like it.
There's a lot of good funny stuff in there. He's doing what a lot of other comedians are doing now, where they're not doing like a straightforward comedy special. They're like doing weird, like bitty kind of stuff. Maria Bamford tried to do something really strange on Netflix, and I had to turn it off halfway through because it was just so weird, where it was like bounced from like small comedy venues.
I appreciate the effort and shit, and there was parts of it that I thought were really funny, but for the, as a whole,
it was very ADD.
Yeah,
like like super ADD where it was all over the place and he was constantly sweating and bouncing around. I was a fan. I liked it. It's not my favorite comedy special I've seen recently, but being a friend of the show, Todd Glass, I do recommend at least take a look at it. You know, form your own opinion.
Drunk, Michelle's pick of the week is the Super Bowl. That little known event coming up this Sunday. Be sure to check that out. Shout out to the Super Bowl.
Drunk, yeah, shout out to the Super Bowl. NBC, one of the smaller networks on TV, will be carrying that program.
That little known NBC network, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see not a lot of people have that. You might have to check your local listings to make sure.
Contact your cable or satellite provider to see if they can get that for you.
Drunk, pick of the week.
My pick of the week is Mike's Alexa that is currently going off and the look on his face that he is fucking
kidding. How did you start that?
It is great.
Probably need to change that to 9:30. Been going a little long lately. We're very long-winded.
Secondarily would be all the food I'm going to eat on Sunday during this.
Your pick of the week is also the Super Bowl.
The big game. I don't think we're allowed to say the SB word. So you got to call it the big game.
Guys, we'll be back next week. We'll do it again. Another interview next week, I'm pretty sure.
We're going to be talking about pets next week?
Pets? No, no.
Oh, I'm in the dark. I can't wait.
You're not in the dark, Travis. You're not in the dark. Oh, and it's podcast fun. Also. So.
Guns out, fun's out.
Is that your catchphrase?
I'm a fan.
Hold on, what the fuck was that?
I don't know.
Drunk, you're not going to say that every week, are you?
Why not?
Yes, please do.
Did you think about it all week and come up with guns out, funds out?
It was just right there. Guns out, funds out.
Oh, write it down and commit it to memory.
Travis, that is we're not going to say guns out, funds out at the end of every show, Travis.
Yes, we are. Guns out, funds out is my favorite new thing that exists. In your hometown. Because the things that last
forever are the things that never change. Don't guns out, fun's out. My greatest fear has never been dying alone. Drifting into the black with someone I barely, someone I barely, someone I barely. Don't die in your hometown. Don't da-da-da-da-da in your hometown. Because the things that last forever are the things that never change. Don't da-da-da-da-da in your hometown. Don't da-da-da-da-da in your hometown. Don't da-da-da-da-da in your hometown.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening. Join us live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. Listen to our back catalog on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, wfodicks.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at wfodicks. Give us a call at 636-487-HAND or email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya. If you like what you heard, tell a friend. Be back next week, motherfucker.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look, we're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. We're rewarding you, too, with 5-minute shows about whatever you want, shout-outs, stuff like that. Go to WFODicks.com and find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck, I have changed.
But now we'll find out what the score is.
The previous play at 109 was under review. The puck completely crossed the goal line. We have a goal.
Tied at 2.
The problem with this, RJ, when you make that call, you cannot clearly see where the puck is when it's in the glove. And that's the problem with the call, and I think that's what Phil Housley and everybody is going to have an issue with as well.